We begin our worship with our hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Please rise. Congregation may be seated. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the worship bulletin, but I do have a few more things to add. Tomorrow, once again, Monday, depending upon how the weather cooperates, and that's probably a difference of opinion between ranchers and farmers and the people working on the bricks. If it is not raining, they do plan to do some sealant on the bricks outside. I suppose probably with this weather, they probably will not be doing that. But if they do, we ask that anybody coming up to the church offices, please park over here in the elevator parking lot so that that spray does not get on your vehicles. One other thing as well, too. This summer, Texas is hosting the National NALC Convention, the Convocation, and it will be in Corpus Christi, Texas. And since it's actually in our mission district here in Texas, we are asked to help supply some volunteers, maybe people to be helpful to convention goers or to point out where the bathrooms are, to pass out bulletins or I don't know what all involves with the volunteers, but if you are interested in helping, and that will be in August, I think it's the first week in August, if you are willing to help with that, please let me know. We do need a volunteer coordinator from our congregation that can be in contact then with the leadership of the NALC to see what's needed and what kind of different duties and jobs. I haven't gotten a job description list of what all the volunteers do, so I can't really tell you on that. And then one other thing I need to mention as well then, too. Last Tuesday we had our council meeting, and we will be relaxing a lot of our safety precautions due to COVID. Starting this month on May 29th and 30th. Mask will be optional if you've had your COVID shot. Signs will be taken off. One of the major changes, too, then, is that we can, since we'll be opening up the fellowship hall, we will no longer be able to have our Saturday service in the fellowship hall. And right now, the chapel space is a little bit too tight for the attendance that we are having over there. So we will be moving the Saturday service into the sanctuary as well then, too. So, and that will start May 29th. I think that's the Saturday, and then May 30th is the Sunday of that weekend. That will be relaxing a lot of those restrictions. The list of all the changes will be in the newsletter, in the June newsletter, and also we hope to have those posted on the website and also on Facebook before too long. We're still finalizing the writing of that list. Okay, any other announcements this morning? Anybody else have announcements? Okay. Then I ask you to rise once again for the greeting and dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, now and at our death.
Things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in this life. To the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty and eternal God, your Son, our Savior, is with you in eternal glory. Give us faith to see that, true to his promise, he is among us still and will be with us to the end of time, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
We sing the hymn, Praise and Thanksgiving. You may be seated.
Our first lesson is from the book of Acts, the first chapter. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord. We read Psalm 1 responsively. "Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. Our second lesson is from the first letter of John, the fifth chapter. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but you are in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Christ. May be seated. And we have a children's sermon this morning from Karen.
Good morning, boys and girls, and everybody else that's here this morning. I'm going to say some things, and I want you to tell me what you think the next thing will be. If I say one, two, three, very good. If I say A, B, C. Okay, the fancy word we use to describe things that are in a certain order is called a sequence. You were able to tell me what the next thing in the sequence was going to be because you knew the order of the things I was saying. In the gospel lesson that Pastor Tim just read us, Jesus is praying for his disciples. In that prayer, we hear a sequence. Here is how the sequence of Jesus' prayer goes. First step, God gives words to Jesus. Second step, Jesus gives those words to his disciples. Third step, the disciples then give those same words to other people. And the disciples did step three very well. They told stories about Jesus, and they shared what Jesus said to them so well that 2,000 plus years later, we still know a lot of those words that Jesus shared with the disciples. How this happened is that the disciples told their disciples, and then their disciples told their disciples, who told their disciples, and so on and so on. Until your parents heard these words and wanted you to hear those same words too. Now it takes some time to learn these ideas and words, but we have each other, our parents, Pastor Tim, and all of us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church to help us think about and talk about and know these stories and words of Jesus. What this means, of course, is that we, you and me, are part of this sequence that Jesus is praying about in today's gospel lesson. So let's end where we started, with you telling me what comes next in this sequence. God, Jesus, disciples, us, you, me. That's right. You, me, and all of us are invited to be in the sequence of sharing the good news and God's word with others. Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about a time when you were young and the storms were starting to come in, or maybe a big thunderstorm. And it's at night. You can see the whole sky just lit up with streaks of lightning, and it would be bright as daytime when those lightning bolts would strike. And then would come the thunder, the huge booms that you would hear. As a child, what would you do? What was your first reaction? It would probably be to go run and jump and go find mom and dad and crawl into bed with them. And then everybody's crawled in bed. You got the whole bed with the whole household right there. Because they made you feel safe. You felt protected in that bed. Or maybe it was the threat of a tornado coming in. And so your parents would grab you and you would go to the safest place you know of. Maybe it would just be an inner room inside your own house. Or maybe if you did have a root cellar, that you would go down into that root cellar. And you would stay there and you would wait until that threat, that danger passed. Your parents would protect you. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus prays for his disciples. He prays that they may be protected, that they may be made safe. Jesus knew the dangers of what was going to happen to his disciples. And the amazing thing is that he prays this prayer right before he himself is to be arrested. This gospel lesson happens on the night in which he was betrayed. They had gone through their supper. Jesus was talking to them. He had been teaching them. He had been giving them his final notes and ideas and trying to ingrain into them that they will continue on in his word. And then he prays this prayer that they may be protected, because Jesus himself is facing all these things. He knew that he would be arrested. He knew that he would be undergoing mockery and the trials and the beatings and the torture and then being condemned to death and hanging on the cross to die. But Jesus, knowing that he's going to be going through all these things, at the same time has concern for his disciples. He has that much love, that much concern for his disciples, that he's not praying for himself, but he's praying for them. He says, Father, give them protection in the name that you have given to me. In that name. That phrase, in the name, is very important. In the Old Testament times, names were important, because if you knew somebody's name, then you could call upon them when you needed help. Even in our society today, names are very important. Names are copyrighted a lot of times. You know, they're on brand products and everything else. But even for us, if you know somebody's name, then they're not a complete stranger to you. You already have a connection just by knowing their name. And if you've ever forgotten a name of who somebody is, maybe somebody comes up to you and says, hi, how are you doing, and calls you by name, but you can't think of their name, you feel really flustered and you feel kind of embarrassed, if not even feel kind of stupid, because you don't remember their name. Names are important because it draws that connection, that relationship with somebody else. And for those people that we are around every day or on a weekly basis, we know their names. We get to know them. We get to know people around us personally. And we never forget them. We never forget their names. And even we know some people so well that we give them nicknames a lot of times, because that name fits their personality. When my father was a little boy, probably 5 or 6 years old, they had just moved into a new town, and somebody had given him a nickel and probably his two brothers nickels to go down to the store and maybe buy some candy or a Coke or something that they wanted. And so dad was there with his two brothers. Now, one brother is 5 years older than he is. The other one is 6 years older than he is. And so he's just a little 4 or 5 year old in that store. And the store clerk then asked my dad, and what's your name? And he said, Delvin Lee Otto Mulebrad. And the store clerk says, oh, that's an awfully long name for such a little boy. I'm going to call you Fritz. And that name stuck. For the rest of his life, he was called Fritz from that point on. But it matches who we are. Our names are so important to us. If somebody forgets your name and you expect them to remember your name, then it kind of makes you feel, well, I'm not important to them because they have forgotten my name and they ought to know who I am. Jesus prays that his disciples and us will be protected in the name of the Father. Now, let me back up just a little bit. In the Old Testament, the name of God was unpronounceable. Sometimes we see it in print as W-H-Y-H in the English letters. In the Hebrew, the letters are just unpronounceable. Because that name was regarded as being so holy, so majestic, that we cannot approach God even to speak his name. And so the way that was handled was rather than pronouncing that name, they called him the Lord. And even a lot of times, if you look in your Bibles where it says the Lord, you'll see that it is in capital letters. And that's where that unpronounceable name of God is. But Jesus calls God Father. Or actually, he calls him Abba. And Abba, a closer translation of Abba is Daddy or Dad. The familiar name of your father, Dad. Of that close relationship. And Jesus is praying that we are protected in Daddy's name, in Dad's name, in that close relationship with God. That we will always be under his care. Another thing that Jesus... let me back up one more time again. I'm kind of scattered this morning. It's in baptism that we receive our name. We say, John Smith, you are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's where we receive our name. That's where we receive our identity in God. Isn't that baptism? He claims us for his own. We become his child. We become a member not only of this congregation, but we become a member of the whole Christian church on earth. And not only the whole Christian church on earth in the present time, but all we are joined with all those others who have gone before us, all the other Christians who have gone before us, and we are joined to all those other Christians that are still yet to come. We are joined in the unity of Jesus Christ and that unity that he has with the Father in which we are protected. Another thing that Jesus prays for here in this prayer is the unity. Is that unity that we are tied together with God. Jesus also prays for sanctification. Sanctification means to be made holy or to keep holy. It means being set aside for the purposes of God. And he prays that each one of us might be sanctified. That each one of us be set aside for those purposes of God. It's kind of a scary thought when you think about it. Each one of us individually, God is calling us. God is saying, I want you to be set aside for me. I want you not only to be a part of my family, but I also have things for you to do, to spread the good news, to spread that word, to spread who God is, to talk about that love and to show that love to one another. And that's kind of scary. God calls each and every one of us. God doesn't call everybody to be pastors. Some he calls to be teachers. Some may be prophets. Some of those who are very good at caring or healing doing music or doing whatever else God needs us to do, or just being a good friend. God calls us. He sanctifies us. He makes us holy. He sets us aside for his particular purposes. He prays for that unity so that we may not be unraveled. Even though we may each be given different gifts,
We are still tied together. We are wrapped together with God. And he prays that we won't come apart, that we won't be frayed, because he knows. He also prays that even though we are not in the world, but that we are still remaining in the world at this time. The world will throw a lot of pressures at us, from Satan tempting us, to people laughing at us, to people mocking us, to people wanting to hurt us because we are Christians. The world will try to destroy us, try to tear us apart. But once we hold together, when God holds us together by protecting us, by calling us by name in that relationship of calling us together in that name, by keeping us holy, by sanctifying us, and tying us all together in unity, we can be strong in faith. We can be here for one another. We can be there to support one another. And even though the storms of life come, even though things threaten us, even though things tend to pull us apart or pull us away from God, Jesus prays then too, that we may have joy. That we may have joy. Now, it's not easy to have joy when all the pressures are hitting us or when we are in the midst of a crisis. That doesn't feel very joyful. But he prays that we may have joy. Because after Jesus was arrested through the trials, through the torture, through his death, through his burial, that's not where it ended. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus conquered death. And that's where our joy comes from. Since we are tied into the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our baptism, we can have that joy that God, that this world will not have the last word. It is God who has the last word, and our joy will be complete. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Amazing Grace. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God,
begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified and Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray in the name of our risen and ascended Savior for the church, the world, and for all people according to their needs. We thank and praise you for the triumph of Christ our Savior. Grant us grace to live in accordance with his commands, to proclaim him as Lord and King, and to share his forgiveness and grace with those who need it most. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. Ease the suffering of all who are persecuted for naming Jesus as Lord. Give gentleness to their words and peace in their hearts. Bring to repentance and humble faith all who torment them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Be with all students graduating this spring. Bless them with wisdom as well as knowledge. Give them integrity along with passion. Help them to use all they have learned in ways that glorify you and help others. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Your Son has ascended on high and is King of all nations. We pray for the earthly leaders of those nations, especially our own. Make them righteous and merciful and conform them to your will. Teach all people to live together in peace and unity until the day Christ comes to judge the living and the dead. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you the needs of all whose lives are shadowed by suffering or sorrow. Grant to them the abundant life promised by Jesus. Fill them with grace and the comfort of your Holy Spirit, and bless those who care for them. We pray especially for Sandra Heil, Clark Kerlick, Polly Hancock, Sue Bolting, Claiborne Bailey, Alvin Stanchos, and Lori Nelson Stinger. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we entrust into your care those who have died trusting in your promise of inheritance. We await the coming of that day when we shall live with you and with all your people in the joy and glory everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Hear and graciously answer our prayers in accordance with your will, dear Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity.
With joy and gladness, we ask these gifts may be remaining
signs of
that love, and
that we may
continue to share in our
one
life.
Through
Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you
and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Our closing hymn is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.